Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit. It is such a blessing to have you listening in the show. We are at beautiful Christ Cathedral. So whatever you're doing, whether you're driving or at home or at work or whatever you're doing, we're so blessed that you're here because we have yet again a very special guest, and this is Kelly Greco, Dr. Kelly Greco, who is a psychologist. And Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. The title of the show is Mental Health with College Students. And certainly we're going to be covering mental health in a variety of different areas. And Kelly is at University of Southern California, USC, where she works with college students. And Kelly, tell us about yourself and who you are. You're married with two children and so forth. And so give us a little bit about your family as well as your educational background.
Sure. Yeah, I have two beautiful daughters and married and a practicing Catholic. And besides family, my career in terms of a licensed psychologist, and I have a doctorate in clinical psychology. I also have a licensed marriage and family therapy degree as well and license. And, you know, mental health and working with those that are in need has been very important to me all of my life. I've had a variety of experiences, not just at college counseling centers, but community clinics, juvenile halls, you know, psychiatric hospitals. So I've been very blessed and honored to be able to walk and work with a lot of different individuals through their pain and suffering.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit with Dr. Kelly Greco talking about mental health, primarily with college students, but certainly it's going to apply across the board. And Kelly, in the environment that we're in right now, mental health is such a critical issue, and the Catholic Church is embracing it. Here in the Diocese of Orange, there's major initiatives going on in a variety of different churches and areas because there's such a need right now. Mm-hmm. The pressure of life is just so intense.
I agree. I definitely see, no matter how old you are, the amount of stress in today's life is very intense for various reasons. And in terms of college students, we see they're coming in with many more symptoms, much more complex problems. But I think the stress that we see with social media, technology, world events, the competition that we see they're having to endure with internships and getting into colleges and just the economy overall. In terms of fears of, am I going to find a job after I graduate, parents losing their jobs, just overall these hardships, as well as just world events and violence in today's society, I think impact our mental health and our wellness overall.
Now, college students, as you mentioned, have really special needs. And first of all, there's incredible pressure just to get into these top schools.
Correct, right.
But then they have to stay there and they have to perform. And like you say, they're constantly thinking about their future and getting jobs and so forth. And does that stress just become almost unbearable at times?
It does. I think, you know, what I see is that just individuating what we call in terms of just leaving family life and becoming a young adult and learning how to live life and on your own. This is what we see in society should be exciting and happy. And there's no room to talk about the negativity, the stress, and what comes with it that can be challenging. You know, I should be happy. I'm supposed to have the time of my life is what I hear many times. And I think when people don't carve out that room and time that this is a challenging time and can be stressful, then they think they should be happy. And when they're not, then that's what sometimes gets them into trouble.
We're with Dr. Kelly Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we're talking about mental health with college students and, again, across the board. Any type of student or young adult, the pressures of today are really amazing. And part of, at least from my opinion, what's going on is they don't necessarily have the skill sets unsupport system. So many divorced families, and even from a spirituality standpoint, they don't necessarily have the support system of turning to God,
right?
You know, and they turn to each other,
right?
Or they turn to sex or drugs or whatever. And
right.
Tell us more about that. Tell us about what you see from a standpoint of the family and the role of the family, and you know why they don't turn to God or the family, and why they turn to other things.
Yeah, I think they who they turn to and what they do in a moment of pain or just overwhelming stress says a lot to do with the outcome and what's going to happen. And so those that do have a solid foundation with spirituality, their religion, turning to God, turning to loved ones that support them and are very positive in their life are really key things that they need to do when they're stressed. So one of the first things I ask people, who are your support systems? Who do you turn to? Because, you know, some of the research I've seen is it's not the quantity of relationships. So it's not like, as I say, that you have 500 Facebook friends. It's the quality. Does someone have someone they can turn to who they can be themselves, authentic, loves them unconditionally, that they can trust and confide in? If they don't, I'm really concerned about that. And that's what I think we look at is support systems is key in terms of managing stress.
We're here again on Empowered by the Spirit with Dr. Kelly Greco talking about mental health in college students. And Dr. Greco is at USC. And why did you choose to specialize with college students?
One thing in terms of with college students, first of all, just working at a university is exciting, it's inspiring, great environment, and a lot of the work we do as therapists at college counseling is very exciting. We do not just the one-on-one counseling, but we also do a lot of preventative work. So I do oversee the outreach and prevention services. So you're reaching out to the campus community and educating and teaching people how to cope and how to manage stress overall. So that's really a great kind of addition when you're within a university setting. But I think when I look at young adults, this is a very vulnerable state that they're leaving home for the first time. You know, what you hear is that they were top of their class, number one. Everyone knew them. They felt very comfortable, very supported. And now they're going to a place where they feel they're among the best of the best. And that's very scary, intimidating. They're having to make friends maybe for the first time because they've had friends for most of their life. And so they feel more alone and isolated and not knowing who they are, focusing on what am I going to do with my life, career, relationships. So this is a very vulnerable time of transition. And so this is an exciting time as a psychologist to intervene and to assist someone who is really kind of looking at their past and maybe how that impacts their current functioning and just needing to kind of talk about where they're at and where they want to go. So there's a lot of exciting times around the stage, but also a time where they're vulnerable and need a lot of assistance.
We're with Dr. Kelly Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit, and we're talking about mental health with college students. Dr. Greco is at USC and works with many college students there. And how do they go about coming to you? Do you get to them kind of late as it relates to what they're going through, or how? I'm curious about the process.
Yeah, the way I look at it is someone doesn't come to a therapist unless they're in a state of distress, right? So they feel motivated to change because they can't tolerate what's occurring internally in terms of their emotions or their environment, or someone is concerned. Someone walks them over to a counseling center. Someone reaches out to consult about a concerned roommate or student. So there's various ways in terms of how they come in. But yes, some people are proactive. And it's the beginning stages of seeing their grades drop or being unhappy. And they're wanting to take action sooner than later. But then you also see students who are coming to you at the end where they're in a state of crisis and distress. And they've been going through this for months.
Now let's talk about here on this Empowered by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is really the center of everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the role of God in your life and how that helps you in your counseling.
Yeah. I can't do my work without God. I pray. I feel that He is always there with me. And I have an interesting story in terms of what led me to this work that has a lot to do with God and my religion. I actually studied as a dance major in undergrad, and dance is very important and very passionate about that as well. But when I was a senior in undergrad, I decided I didn't want that type of lifestyle, and I was confused and thinking, what do I really want to do with my life, even though this is important? So I went to a local church that I went to during undergrad. No one was in the church. I just sat in the pew by myself, and I prayed. I prayed for guidance, and I opened the bulletin. And in the bulletin, there was a posting for an organization called, actually, Outreach Concern, that had openings for therapists to volunteer to see students kindergarten through eighth grade. And so I applied, and I got the position, and the psychologist there was a great mentor, and because of that individual and that experience, that then led me to get my master's and then on to my doctorate.
Fantastic. Again, we're with Dr. Kelly Greco here on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about mental health with college students. We're going to ask that you call other people up or send them a text and let people know that there is hope. We're going to get into some more specific circumstances and examples with college students or young adults that are really going through some emotional pain. You know, what is it that they can do to make a difference? We'll be right back. God bless.
God, I'm running for you.
Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back on Empowered by the Spirit with a very special guest, Dr. Kelly Greco, who is a psychologist at USC specializing in mental health with college students. And she's something else. She is my goddaughter niece. We're so proud of you, Kelly, and I know how much your faith means to you since I baptized your children, and
yep.
And you're so amazing as it relates to your spirituality, along with really wanting to make a difference. So we're incredibly mm-hmm. proud of you. And
thank you.
And we're talking about, you know, just all the pressures that we all go through, but particular the younger adults, college students and so forth. And, you know, we were mentioning in the first segment some of the emotional pain that they go through. I believe, and of course you're the expert on it,
mm-hmm.
but perfectionism
yes.
is one of the most important things. Tell us about
yes.
that.
Yeah, there's perfectionism gets in the way a lot of the times because people think that they need to be perfect. And what I remind people is no one is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. I do think part of this is that we live in a very fast-paced world where we get things very quickly with technology and social media. So people want to be fixed and they want it now. And the one thing that I see a lot of young adults have a difficult time doing is that they can't tolerate just sitting with the discomfort of that someone's upset with them if they set a limit, or discomfort with the negative feelings. And they need to slow down in this fast-paced, quick world.
This is Deacon Steve Greco with Dr. Kelly Greco talking about mental health with college students. And for those out there that have children, for example, that perhaps are struggling, give them a call or a text or have them listen in, or certainly talk to them about what we're talking about on this show. Because there is lots of help,
mm-hmm.
there is hope, and there is processes to really help this overcoming of these pressures that are happening in college. And, you know, how does faith help those with emotional pain?
Faith helps with the foundation, and I see it as prayer and faith as a coping skill. And so when I'm talking to someone, I want to find out if that is part of their life and what do they do to ground themselves, feel more centered, have a more solid sense of self. And so that's in terms of using prayer can be really important. It gives us hope. We need hope because there's so much negativity and worry around us. And I I always say there's chaos going to be always around you. You need to find a place, and through prayer or whatever else you choose, you need to be able to know how to ground yourself with all this chaos around you.
This is Deacon Steve Greco with Kelly Greco, Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Come down and see us. It's an amazing campus here in this beautiful city of Garden Grove here on Chapman Avenue. I will say unequivocally that one of the things from my vantage point in dealing with younger people is there's a tendency for them to think that, wow, nothing's ever going to change.
Mm-hmm.
My life is over.
Right.
It's done.
Right.
You know, 20 years, 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever, my life is over. And how can you get them out of that, thinking that, you know, listen, even though something happened that didn't go the way you wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
your life is in front of you, not over.
Exactly. And what we see with a lot of young adults is that they personalize. They take things very personally. So one of the examples I use when I speak a lot is, with my generation, you started in the mailroom and you worked up. And you worked up to be president or climb the ladder. These days, with YouTube and reality shows, there are overnight successes. And people want to be president immediately when they graduate. And so I see that they personalize and they have a hard time with these losses of the internship they didn't get or a breakup with a partner. And these things that just are, you know, happen to us that are part of life, it's hard because they personalize it and they're so self-critical.
Do they feel like, again, they have to perform? Is it for their peer group? Is it for parents? Is it what is it that makes them feel like they just have to be perfect, and they define themselves
right
by their accomplishment?
Exactly. They define themselves by what they accomplish. So the first times they get a low grade or things aren't perfect anymore, they fall apart or decompensate, and then we're concerned. So that's why, in terms of, you know, the pressure of, are they living a life that's true to themselves or for others? So I love Winnicott, who in the 60s came out with True Self versus False Self. And I use that a lot and talk about that a lot, of people that are struggling sometimes are living a life of the false self. It's, I'm this major because mom and dad wanted me to be this person. They wanted me to be a doctor. This is what I should do. Or everyone else is happy on Facebook, so why am I not happy? Why am I not having the same experience? And what I remind people is they're only going to put the positive things on Facebook. It's that, are you living the life that you want versus what others want?
We're with Dr. Kelly Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about mental health with college students and the pressures of today and the coping skills. And trying to live up to expectations is something that is a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
And is it expectations that family members put on them, or is it mostly on themselves because of success of family or peers or siblings?
Right. It can be a combination. And I always ask questions about, where is that coming from? Is this coming from a family member? Is it coming from yourself? Is it coming from the media, you know, society, what you think you should be doing? So it can be a variety of issues as well. But I think I see a lot of people in distress, again, when they're living this life for others. And they're very fearful that if they choose a different decision or a different path, those around them are going to be disappointed and upset. And tolerating that discomfort is what makes them not want to make those decisions.
We're here with Dr. Kelly Greco again on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the pressures of the day with college students and what they're going through. And it's interesting. I was reflecting upon something that Blessed Mother Teresa used to talk about and wrote about, and that is that God is calling us to be faithful and not successful.
Mm-hmm.
The role of success is such a huge stressor,
mm-hmm.
because in a lot of ways, someone is always more successful than you.
Exactly.
And so therefore, you never feel content.
That's right. Yeah, it reminds me, my mother always used to say, there's always going to be someone above you and below you. And you cannot measure success on looking at what other people are doing or things that can be taken away. Because we all know that things can be taken away. Relationships, jobs, things can change on a dime. So what is that anchor? What is that core in terms of, especially in terms of, what is your spirituality? What is your belief? And going to God and going to prayer to, again, ground you and kind of anchor you when those those losses come up.
So let's role play a little bit if we could. You know, I'm someone coming in. My parents are doctors. I'm the youngest. My older siblings are also incredibly accomplished in business or law, whatever it might be. And I feel like I've got to do something incredibly important, and all of a sudden I'm struggling with my grades and feel like a complete failure. What's the process that you go through?
The process is, why do they feel like they're a failure? What do they feel like they should be doing? And again, is that coming from internally that they should be doing this, or the pressure externally? And I ask them, what would they want to do? So if you woke up tomorrow or things changed, what would you want to be doing? Where would you want to be? What would you want to be studying? And that kind of helps lead me to find out their true self and what they'd want to be doing. And then talking about, okay, how do you get there if you want to do that? What do you have to do?
So I want to be a doctor, and my grades are not up to speed, and I'm going to look like a failure in my own eyes, and certainly with my parents and siblings and friends, and I don't think I'm going to do it, so I don't know what I'm going to do because I always wanted to be a doctor.
Sometimes they're catastrophizing. So they're thinking that the A minus is not going to get them into medical school and so forth. So you really want to look at, are they catastrophizing, and what can they do to change the situation, like the grades, or what could they do differently? So this is what I see happen, is they get stuck in the emotional part and they don't problem solve. So it's important to express, grieve, and acknowledge whatever's going on internally. But then I help people move to problem solving. We've got to think in terms of what's the next step out of the emotional state.
So it really is taking a logical approach to it and not being on an emotional roller coaster, because that's one of the things I've done in my counseling as a deacon, is trying to let people know, A, there's hope, that Jesus is in the center of everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And also that you can't respond to everything that's happening every single day as a crisis.
That's right. I always talk about, it's about triage. You know, you prioritize what's the most important thing. And I use myself a lot in my own work. I talk about when I'm having a stressful day, or if I'm feeling any kind of negative emotions, this is what I do. I make different decisions. I slow down. I make sure that I exercise. So a lot of people, especially young adults, they don't know internally what's going on. They go from 0 to 60 of, like, all of a sudden they were in deep sadness or intense anger. So helping people monitor and be more self-aware of internally what's going on, and then making decisions to manage that, and also to give themselves permission to feel what they feel. That is something I see a lot, is that they don't accept what's going on. They're very critical. I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't be sad.
We talk an awful lot about 2 Corinthians 10:5. So go ahead and open your Bibles now. And it talks about making obedient every thought captive. And if you look at also at Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and then the peace of God will be with you. And, you know, so many times it's how hard, or how long, rather, we hold on to these negative thoughts rather than thinking about, guess what, I've gone through problems before.
Right.
I've solved these problems. I'm really awesome, and I am talented, and we're going to find solutions for this as we have in the past. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Dr. Kelly Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to get into suicide prevention on our next segment. Please listen in. We'll be right back. Deacon Steve Greco, we're back on Empowered by the Spirit, beautiful Christ Cathedral, here with Dr. Kelly Greco, who is a psychologist at USC. And boy, you know, we have one huge problem in our society, and probably throughout the world, but especially in our society, and that is more and more suicides at certainly all ages, but especially in college students and young adults. Tell us about that, and tell us about the types of things that you see.
Yeah, we see nationally that suicide is the second leading cause of death for college students. So when I think of suicide prevention, there are three things that come to my mind. Connectedness and a sense of belonging is key. And when someone doesn't have that, that concerns me. What gives them meaning and what gives them hope? And when I go out and I talk about suicide prevention, one of the things I say is, if there's one thing I want you to remember, it's this. Talking to someone and asking them directly if they're suicidal is the best thing that you can do. What people do due to our own anxiety and worry is that we're going to make it worse if I ask them if they're suicidal. So asking them directly, are you going to kill or hurt yourself, is the best thing that you can do. One, because it gives them the information they need to see if this is a dangerous or imminent situation. But two, the person's not going to open up and talk about it. They're fearful of being judged and labeled. And if I ask that question, they think, wow, she wants to talk about it. It's okay. And so that's the most important thing, is to ask them directly. And it's not going to make them more suicidal. And that's a myth that circulates in our society.
This is Deacon Steve Greco with Dr. Kelly Greco. And it's such a critical point here in the show, because I know that there are people out there listening in that are thinking about ending their life. They're thinking about, there's no way I can get out of this current situation.
And that's right.
And there's always hope, and there's always a way out. And one of the things that I've seen in being a deacon and counseling and working with so many different people is the fact that they're this self-condemnation. They're condemning themselves for something that they've done or they haven't achieved and whatever. And just open your Bible, my brothers and sisters, to Romans 8. 8:1, hence now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus does not condemn us. Jesus loves us unconditionally. In fact, later in this chapter, it talks about the fact that neither death nor life nor principalities nor principles nor present things nor future things nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate you from the love of Jesus. Do not define yourself by your accomplishments, but define yourself by your love.
That's right. Unconditional love.
Define yourself by that agape love. Define yourself and how much you love other people. And, you know, at least I have found that instead of just this constantly focusing on yourself, if they focus on other people and how can I make other people feel joyful and feel important and feel needed and feel loved. If I'm reaching out to other people, then all of a sudden my problems seem to dissipate.
Yeah, reaching out to others. But when they're in that kind of distress and despair, reaching out to others is really difficult. And so that's one thing that I see is, how can you love yourself? How do you love yourself unconditionally? Because we are our worst critic and we judge ourselves. One of the things I say to individuals is, wow, would you ever say what you just said about yourself to a friend or a loved one? Never. Never. But they say it to themselves. So we have to look at God's love and this unconditional love that we want from others, but also how to give it to ourselves.
Don't you find, and maybe I'm wrong here, again, we're with Dr. Kelly Greco, psychologist at USC, who working with college students, working with so many students who come in despair and are considering harming themselves. Don't you think that when you hear those things, that self-condemnation, that perhaps if you ask them, if someone said that to you, what would you say back to them? You know, because the reality is that they're harder on themselves and judge themselves more severely than they judge other people.
Exactly. Self-compassion, that's the key, is how do you be more kind and gentle to yourself? Leave room for mistakes. And I don't even like labeling them as mistakes. They're learning experiences. What did I learn from this? What could I do differently? This makes me human to have these emotions, to be imperfect. And God and others and myself, you know, that's the key of to loving yourself and this imperfection.
Now, for all those listening in and our radio audience, I know many of you have had thoughts about those around you. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a child, one of your children. And that is, how do I identify mm-hmm. whether or not someone is really severely mm-hmm. in a position where they may harm themselves? And what advice do you give to our listening audience?
One of the things you see is this rigid thinking. They want to end the emotional pain and don't see a way out. So there's a lot of blinders kind of on the side of them, and they can't open up those blinders. You'll hear this a lot, that this suicide is a permanent solution to temporary problems. But yet people say a job loss, a breakup of the partner, divorce, you know, those are not going to change. But how we react and manage those losses and disappointments can change.
And certainly it's so important that when we can see that people are hurting, that we try to make a difference. And what are some of the things that we can do mm-hmm. if, for example, we have someone in our family that we're concerned about? I mean, what are the things we say to them?
One of the things that you shouldn't say is, it's going to be okay, because sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better. And one of the things that people, I think, minimize is the presence of just being with someone, validating them. You know, I can understand why you're so angry. I can see that you're hurting. So just that validation, and whatever they feel is what they feel, with no judgment or criticism, accepting them unconditionally. The thing that we really want to ask, though, further, is one of the things I used to train people on years ago when I spoke about this. It's called CPR. And learning CPR, everyone can be a lifesaver. You look at, do they have a current plan? Is it specific? Do they have the means? P is, do they have prior attempts? If they've attempted before, we're concerned that they would repeat that, and they use that as a coping skill. And then the resources for R, like what do they do to manage their pain? Are they being self-destructive or hurtful to themselves? And what are their support systems like? So really asking those questions. But the main one is, do they have a plan and a means, and when or how are they going to do it?
We're with Dr. Kelly Greco from USC, a psychologist working with college students, and a significant number of them at times really considering a permanent solution to their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And do they come in to see you, or how do you identify who they are?
If they're suicidal? Yeah, one of the things we ask everyone if they're feeling suicidal or homicidal. I mean, that's just kind of part of the assessment as a psychologist. And we have to be careful that what we see on the outside doesn't dictate our concerns about somebody. People can mask their feelings. So someone can look really well put together and okay on the outside, but internally there's tremendous suffering and pain. So having that dialogue and asking those specific questions is key.
Do the students have to self-identify? Or can other students come in and say, I'm really concerned about my roommate?
Yeah, both. People walk in and are concerned, so these thoughts may scare them. In terms of maybe the frequency of these thoughts, they want to do something about it. Or you have a professor or roommate or even a parent calling saying, I have someone that I know that is talking about suicide. They're saying the world is better off without me. I may not see you tomorrow. Or they're writing about it, or they're posting it on social media, and they don't know what to do. They feel helpless. People think, I need to fix it. And again, it's asking the right questions and sitting with them and accepting with whatever they're going through.
And you made such a critical point when you talked about validating their feelings,
yeah.
that it's okay to feel that way.
Exactly.
And certainly things that happen in their life, hey, everyone would feel this emotional pain associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then where do you take it from there? If you're a parent or a friend, where mm-hmm. do you take it from there?
I want to find out what gives them hope. So asking them, what gives you meaning? What gets you out of bed? What puts a smile on your face? What makes you feel content? And people think, you know, they're trying to think too big. So I'm thinking small. What are the places that you go to, or the things that you watch, or the things that you do, hobbies, activities? What is that gives you meaning and hope? Is it the spirituality? Is it prayer? Is it God? What, again, grounds you? So we look at what we call protective factors. And religion is up there as a protective factor that prevents them from hurting themselves.
My brothers and sisters, there is hope in Christ Jesus. Jesus loves us unconditionally. Jesus is that God of hope, and Jesus is there for you. And there's always, always another solution. The solution is not to end your life. And We're looking now at Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, as you're listening in here, I'm sure you're reflecting upon perhaps your own life or the lives of friends or loved ones around you. There is hope. What is happening today is not necessarily translate towards tomorrow. I would ask you just to reflect upon one thing. What was the biggest problem you had 5 years ago? Do you remember? Most of you do not remember. Mm-hmm. And yet, at the time, it was catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, you thought you'd never get out of it. But Jesus is always there holding your hand, helping you get out of it. Very important to understand that Jesus loves you unconditionally. He is there with his gentle yoke. He is there with his love, his unconditional love. You do not have to prove yourself to Jesus. No matter how many times you committed a sin, it doesn't matter. Jesus is there to forgive you. We're here with Dr. Kelly Greco, Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to get in the last segment into very specific resources when you feel like you're hurting and you need to help. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we've been talking about mental health with college students with Dr. Kelly Greco, who is at USC and really focuses on helping those that really need the help mentally. And for so many people, they don't know what to do. They get in this downward spiral, and young adults, college mm-hmm. students, and certainly our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's so many resources out there to help them. For you listening in, perhaps you're going through really a rough time, or perhaps you're yourself in college or a young adult. When you find yourself in this downward spiral, and no matter how hard I try, I can't seem to get myself out of this depression or this anxiety or mm-hmm. this fear.
Right.
Which, my brothers and sisters, stands for false evidence appearing real, because God is always there with hope. But if you can't find a way out, what are some things that you can do?
One of the things is to talk to others. I see so many people just suffer in silence due to the stigma of mental health, fear of being judged or labeled, and then they think, I'm the only one. But when they start talking about it and reaching out to others, they realize they're one of many, and it validates what they're going through and then normalizes it. There's so much that they're going through that is a normal developmental reaction, but they think that something's wrong with them. So talking to someone and reaching out, not suffering alone, is really important. But going to your college counseling centers to reach out, and I always say, give it a try. Just go once. You know, people think they have these perceptions of therapy and assumptions, and it's never what it really is. So it's just give it a try.
And you're not a failure by reaching out and saying, I need help.
No, what I tell people, and I believe this, is you sitting in my office, you walking into this door, is a sign of strength. And I commend you and I applaud you, because we all suffer, we all have stress and negative emotions, and to reach out and get help is what is empowering, what God wants us to do, and what we need to do to get through this, because suffering is just part of life.
And we all suffer, we all have challenges, we all have our crosses, but it's really what you do with it.
Exactly.
How you process it.
Yes.
And for those out there who are not in college that are suffering right now, and perhaps they don't have the financial ability, resources to be able to pay for a psychologist or a psychiatrist that often can be very expensive, I mean, what are mm-hmm. other resources out there?
You know, your local counties have crisis hotlines 24 hours, so to reach out to those resources as well. College counseling centers help connect students if there's financial stressors in terms of services within the university or outside of the university. The other thing, too, that's important, and we have this at USC and it's at other schools, at USC we have an Office of Religious Life. So we have 50 religious directors. So there's someone to go to talk to. And there's also sliding scale centers across the cities in terms of, you know, as low as $5 for therapy.
You know, one thing I found is that sometimes people turn to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they turn to friends that are not trained clinically,
right,
who don't know what to say. But, well, they're my friends. They, you know, we bond together. We support each other and so forth. But turning to the right people, very important.
Yeah, and I think as, you know, especially as a parent, making sure that they're getting the help that they need, and making sure that the person is getting professional help if needed. Because I see that a lot, of people wanting to take on more than they should or trying to fix it when really a professional should be involved.
I know it's very difficult being a parent of of young adults, and what do you say? You know, you want to love them unconditionally, you want to be supportive, but there are times I know that parents may go a little bit overboard as it relates to what you said earlier, not validating their feelings, but perhaps trying to fix it. Tell
that's
us
right.
about that.
Yeah, when we want to fix things, a lot of times that's our own stuff. You know, we're uncomfortable. We feel helpless. So it's about us, not them. So we just want to sit with them and validate with what they're going through. And we need to tolerate the discomfort of not being able to fix it. There's so much with suffering that we just have to sit with and move through it before it gets better.
My brothers and sisters, there is hope. There are resources everywhere in the county. There are resources in colleges. There are resources everywhere you look, but you have to look. And I know sometimes the challenge is that you just start withdrawing more and more and more, and you don't want to look anywhere. And tell us about that.
Yeah, one of the things that we see a lot is people avoid suffering. And when they avoid it too often and too much, that's what gets them into trouble. You have to move towards it. And I know that is not a natural response, but the more you acknowledge the pain, the more that you validate it, the more that you know about it, that's what gets you through it.
My brothers and sisters, we're Empowered by the Spirit with Dr. Kelly Greco here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Whatever you're doing, we appreciate your listening in. And these are very important topics in which we are there standing in the gap for other people. And I want to focus on that for a minute. And that's the power of prayer. Perhaps you do feel helpless. You don't know what to say, what to do. But you can pray. Pray the rosary. Intercede for the people. Pray each and every day. Go to Mass. And I often will go to Mass, and when I receive the Blessed Sacrament, the body and blood of Christ, I'll say on behalf of, and I'll just fill in the blanks of that person, I'm receiving the body and blood of Jesus. Or as you're praying, you know, you can walk up to a priest or a deacon, or even doesn't matter who it is, and you say, will you pray over me? I'm going to stand in for fill in the blank. So there's lots of things you can do as it relates to your own spirituality to intercede on behalf of those sufferings. And that's also very, very important. And, you know, parents and loved ones, I would think, are perhaps among the most important resources there.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Your support system is key. And I ask everybody, what is their support system? And if they don't have one, that concerns me. That sense of belonging and connectedness, we all need that. We all want that. And if someone doesn't have that, that concerns me.
Tell us more about the suicide hotline. You hear about all these hotlines. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Dee Dee Hirsch does great work in LA County. And, you know, every county has their own counseling crisis center. I worked in Northern California for many years for one. And it's 24 hours. And they're volunteers that are trained to take calls when people are in crisis. So they can talk to people that are just suffering and in pain and talk to somebody in terms of that maybe contemplating suicide. So it's someone that's always there that has resources.
What about if you've identified someone in your family? Could you call the suicide hotline to get some help?
Yes, you could call them and they could walk you through how to talk to the person, what to do. And what we want to do is identify, is this something that's imminent? Do the police need to be involved? Do I need to take them to the hospital? Again, if someone has a specific plan and means, that's when we're really concerned.
My brothers and sisters, whether it be a college student or whether it be a young adult, whether it be an adult or a person of any age, there is hope. There is hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus loves us so unconditionally. get back to church, get back to very, very important, the sacrament of reconciliation. And recently I had a personal example in which we called a priest in with someone who I knew who hadn't gone to reconciliation for years. And reconciliation is such an important sacrament because, as Blessed Mother Teresa would say, we walk in feeling the stain of sin and walk out whiter than snow. And it's so important to go to the church and go to the sacraments, go to communion and mass if you can, if you're up to it. But it's so important that we connect the church to those that are suffering, because the Catholic Church cares about you and loves you unconditionally. Well, it's certainly been great having you on the show, Kelly, and there have been so many people helped, and wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for showering us with your love, for giving us resources and compassionate people who love us unconditionally. We ask for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us with tongues of fire, to heal us emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way possible, Lord God, to take away those pains, those hurts, those sufferings, sufferings of childhood, sufferings of abuse, whatever it may be. May we receive your love. May we be open to receive your compassion. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We say this in the name of Jesus, and I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio. I am a soul.